Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We are now at that part. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It is impossible to live on this planet and not receive some kind of damage. And I'm glad that we serve a God that loves us, cares for us enough to heal us from those wounds. Some wounds, they are emotional wounds. They are hurts from the past, sore spots, mournings, things that we have yet to complete, to completely go through, or things that just won't ever heal, but we'll always have to bear with us. Sometimes it is a physical wound. Many of you, you're sitting here right now, you know what it's like to have a physical ailment that just colors and changes every minute of your life. Thankful for a God that heals. Thankful for a God that cares. For a God that sends comfort. You can't avoid emotional or physical hurt here on this earth. I'm glad that we serve a God who heals and blesses. We need that. I know I do. And going through these prayer requests with you guys, I know you do too. We need a God that heals. We need a God that blesses. This earth is too harsh. You folks have brought in prayer requests, and God has blessed and healed those people. You know, just talking about Mike's son, you know, going into remission, or at least that's our prayer, that's where he is. Praise the Lord for that. You know, we think about, you know, Sister Ruth came up, the Colton that we're praying for on that side. It had cancer in three different spots, they thought. Removed parts of the pancreas and the liver. Is that right, brother? Went up to the one in the lung. It's just a growth. Ain't cancerous. Doesn't have to have anything done to his lung. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I'm always going to remember, Brother Hilly. You know, sitting there in this dire situation, I was convinced we were waiting on bad news. Now look at him out there, getting up in the pulpit, doing things that he shouldn't even be at the, according to man's wisdom, he shouldn't even be out of the hospital yet. And he's out there recovering and doing fine. Now, God blesses in strong ways. Let me ask you this, have you ever been in a situation, ever been in a fight physically, where you didn't win, but God comforted you along the way? I'll tell you this, you ever ask me, I'd rather the Lord calm the storm, but I'll never discount the days the Lord comforted me while the storm raged. Sometimes that storm has to go. Did he not call out to them from the sea? Be not afraid. Telling Peter, come out here. That doesn't make any sense. Lord, don't you love Peter? Why would you scare Peter that way? I scared Melody a little bit last week. It took her 3 days to forgive me. I snuck up on her, gave her a little surprise tickle. You ever do that to a kid? She screamed. She cried for 3 days. Now, men, you know what I'm talking about. Your wife can look at you in such a way that freezes you. My daughter learned that look from her mama. She just, Melody, how are you? Just run my blood cold. You know, we want comfort during those times. You know, scare you. Scared her a little bit. She got angry. You ever get scared and don't look like you're scared? You're angry. Sometimes you're scared, but it don't look scared. You look bitter. You look frustrated. You look overwhelmed. Why would you put Peter through that? I mean, wasn't he green enough looking in the boat? You had to bring him out. Sometimes we need trials of our faith. And sometimes there's just things that have to happen to the body. Nobody lives forever, right? I mean, this is an imperfect thing we're looking at. And it's only going to remain in good working order for so long. But you know what will always be there? God's hand upon your shoulder. God's care in your life. His watch care, His love, His healing, His blessings, those are always there. And blessings and good days look different. Now, I've met some people, hey, how you doing? And the market was up and they went out and they bought a brand new house. And they just had a new kid and they just got a promotion at work. They're having a good day. I've met people so sick that they just to get out of bed and sit in the chair by the window was a good day. It's important for us to recognize the sliding scale of good day. Whatever I have, whatever strength is left in my body, whatever ability I have, it's a good day when I can use it. No matter how much or how little, it is good, the blessings that God puts on our lives. As a shepherd would go to the lamb, oftentimes he would put that oil on the lamb, and they still do that in some areas. They'll put the oil on the lamb for a few different reasons. The first one would be for medicinal purposes. Sometimes it would be for cleansing purposes. Some oils that they used back then would be much like the medicines. We go out and get an antibiotic or something like that today. They would put something antiseptic on them. And then sometimes they'd put that oil on there and it would just prevent other pests from getting at them. And I've read that. Somebody gave an illustration of a sheep that was just having a hard time. And what it would kept doing is as those bugs would walk around and fiddle with the top of its head, it would take its head and rub it up against the fence, rub it into the dirt. And I thought about my dog. Man, when Hans isn't doing good, if he gets, because he digs. So a dog that digs, you got to clean their ears out. If not, they'll sit there and paw at their ears. And you could tell when he's uncomfortable, he'll paw at his ears. He gets eye crusties, and he'll sit there and he'll paw at his eyes. And you'll know he's struggling because he'll always grumble when he sits down. You go, rrr, that little German grumble he does, just. Rrr, rrr. I'll go over with the antiseptic stuff, I'll clean his ears out. With that ointment they give you at the vet, I'll clean his ears out. I'll take a washcloth and I'll wash off the little crud around his eyes. And all that tail will start to wag. He's so happy. And then he'll go and lay down and he'll make one of my favorite sounds. He'll make just those giant dog lungs just letting loose. I can tell there's no grumble. He's feeling good. You know, he's so grateful for those times. He's so happy for those times. But you know how long that dog will sit there and rub his face into the carpet or rub his paws against his ears and his face before he'll come get me? He'll do that forever. So you know what I'll do? I'll start to see it. I know I got to go to him. And that's how God is for you. Yeah, sometimes he'll wait for you to come to him. But you better believe you have his attention. Any of you ever have a child got sick and you just said, let it go. What's that? You're bleeding from all your appendages. You'll be fine. No, that's not what we do. All right, come here. Let's get that cleaned off. Oh, it's okay. Let's put a Band-Aid there. And oh, yep, we do have to go get stitches. Get in the car. Let's go. We take care of those things. Do you not think your heavenly Father's looking after you, seeing the need that you're in? And again, for those hurts that will not be taken care of today, he offers you his presence and his comforts. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, looks like we got a problem. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, we got a problem. We need more tests. What does your heart do? Oh, no. Oh, no. Especially this one. We're going to keep you overnight for some tests. Oh, no. Well, we got to call a specialist in from another hospital. Oh, just kill me now. Like, oh, no. You know, we panic about stuff. But you know who's sitting there in that room with you? The Lord. I spent a night in the hospital this last few months. We got kids. My family's down there. And I don't like to bother y'all at 1 o'clock in the morning. You can bother me, by the way. I guess that is a kind of a double standard. I tell you what, Brother Art, I'll call you at 1 in the morning next time I know. No. So when I'm there, she had to be at home. Sitting there all by myself. The nurse would come in. Are you still here all by yourself? And I sat there and I debated. I go, if I tell her no, am I going to get a psych visit too? No, I'm praying. We don't have anything to worry about. I go, I know. I'm praying. I know. I could talk to him. He could talk to me. And I tell you what, that changes the situation, doesn't it? You tell me, what would you rather have? Sit there in some bad news, rubbing your hands together, thinking of every awful outcome that it could be? Or would you rather sit there and talk to your Heavenly Father? You've been there as a kid when things were so awful. Nothing did any good, but your mom and your dad would sit there. They'd come over you, they'd hug you, and they'd hold you. That's what your Heavenly Father will do for you. Yeah, He'll calm the storm for you. He'll cure the disease for you. He'll do any of those things if His will calls for it. But never forget the value of just the care. So He pours out this oil, pours out this medicine, this balm, this anti-itch ointment. He pours this out on us. And He does so liberally. As we pull this apart, we see that oil, it cleanses. It cleanses. You know, you can't talk about the cleansing power of God without first talking about sin. A lot of folks are struggling, and they're struggling because they've got sin in their lives. They're struggling because of decisions that they made. Word of God comes in, His conviction falls upon you. And what do? You get rid of it. All right, I'm doing something I ought not to be doing. Let me get rid of it. And that cleanses you out. And you take care of that. Lord, please forgive me. You remove everything out. Guess what? You feel better. Anybody here, you ever had the chicken pox? I don't know what that weird pink stuff was my mom used to dip me in. But for about 10 minutes, it was wonderful. Wasn't it? She used to give me an oatmeal bath. And it fixed things for a while. You get that immediate relief, that kind of a feeling. For when things are better, when the Lord imposes upon us that cleansing, that sin goes away. It'll cleanse you from your sin. It'll cleanse you from the sin you see around this earth. Sometimes our eyes will wander. Well, that looks pretty good. Hey, well, we'll see something somebody else is munching on. And they go over there and they're munching on this sin. They get the burrs in their wool and it's itchy, it's scratchy, it's uncomfortable. But they feel as though they ate something good. And I look over, I go, well, that looks like they're having a good time. And you want to go over and play with that sin. The goodness of God in your life, if you're paying attention to it, will keep you from that sin. Well, that's what they're doing and it looks tempting. But I know that's bad. I know that's something I don't want to be a part of. We had a gentleman stop by the church earlier in the week, left me a voicemail and left us some information. The voicemail, and I kid you not, said this, that he was raising money for solar-powered Bibles. Oh, yeah. Now, I did what some of you are doing. I go, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I had to get up here. I had to get that information. So I came in. I checked all the doors. He slipped it under that door over there. And I grabbed that up. It is a speaking Bible. And you can leave it out in the sun. It'll charge the battery. And then they could put, you know, they can hit play and listen to them read the Bible in their words. And I went from going, well, that's silly, to, oh, well, that makes sense. And there's a lot of churches that would see that and they would go, yes. We should absolutely get on board. But that's not what I did. Why? Because I had questions. What version of the Bible? Oh, you Baptists and your KJV onlyism. I tell you what, you wouldn't give them the gospel if it came from another Bible. You're absolutely right. And it's not just because of my dying devotion to one particular version. It is my aversion to the other ones. Have you seen some of the stuff they changed? Have you seen some of the stuff they put in? Some of the stuff they took out? Why on earth would I buy that? Does the Bible not say that we ought not add to or take from? And tell me, you tell me this, if our church buys that and gives a perversion of the Bible over to somebody who doesn't know any better, somebody who doesn't have a preacher to preach to them and explain to them the word, right? Think about the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I understand unless somebody teaches me? Even if we give that to them and there's no preacher, what conclusion could they come to? And I went from thinking it was weird to kind of understanding to knowing that's something our church could never participate in. I can't give that. I can't add my support to that business. Now, I tell you what, you show me a preacher who's going to go with a translation of the Bible that makes sense. I talked to Brother Enrique Kent too. I go, hey, listen, I go, you preach out of a Spanish Bible, yes. I asked him about the translation. The man could tell me everything on earth I wanted to know about the Spanish translation that he uses and how close it is to the King James, and I appreciated that. You asked some of these guys, we did the best we could. Man. Horseshoes and hand grenades, but not the Word of God. Close don't count there. You need to be there. You can't just be, well, you know, we're pretty there, but, you know, just the translators and different philosophies of the people who put it together. No, sir. I don't want the Word of God tailored to me by a man who does not appreciate the Word of God as it sits. I don't want it added to, I don't want to take it from. Told somebody at one time, I go, I like my Bible the way I like my coffee. Don't mess with it. That's it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. That's it. Just leave it the way it is. So that sin, it will that cleansing will clear us from other sins. I do believe that passing out a false version of the Bible, one that dilutes the Bible, one that takes things away from the Bible, I believe that's a sin. Bible says as much. So no, because of the things, the time that I've spent with the Word of God, the time I've spent in prayer and learning, I know better than to touch that. That's the kind of cleansing that we need. It'll take us away from other things. Just because you're caught up in that sin doesn't mean I have to get caught up in that sin. Right? We've got some communicable diseases in our society today, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, how do we best avoid them? We need to put the scientists together. How do we avoid this? You know, I got a foolproof way. 100% efficacy. You follow this, you ain't ever got to worry about any of that. Really, what is it? How much does it cost? Can I get it at Walmart? Will my job pay for it? Will my insurance pay for it? How do I get it? It's very easy. She stays over there. You stay over here. Well, hold on. No. You can't eat the cake and not get the calories. Trust me, I've tried. Right? You can't jump into the water and not get wet. The best way to avoid it is to avoid it. Very easy. Oh, well, that's no fun. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were preventing a problem. I didn't know we were planning fun. And 1,000 ways to have fun don't involve you having to go out there and spread some stuff around. And you know what? That cleansing will heal the sin done against you. I want in my life to get to the point to where when people hurt me, I heal real fast from it. And that's a tricky thing, because sometimes we get our heads so wrapped up around a victim mentality, we don't want to forgive. We don't want to give it to God. We don't want to, quote unquote, let the guy off the hook, let the gal off the hook. We don't want to do that. We want to hang on to that. Again, I'm thinking of these sheep. To sometimes remove a wound or to fix a wound, you got to pull out something that's still there. Man, I could... just try to imagine pulling a thorn or something out of an animal with teeth, right? I think we've done that a few times. Danielle, when she was practicing for her vet tech stuff, she used to try to get me to hold the dogs while she would practice giving them injections or drawing blood or things like that. Let me tell you this, I'm not your guy for that. I felt bad. I'm like, I'm not going to hold you while you torture my dog. No, I'm going to hold this dog down while you do that. The cat, anytime you want. Anytime you want. But we're quite set that we've got enough living things in our house right now. We're quite set on that. But I saw an advertisement for those African Mastiffs. You ever see those? I don't know the proper name for them, but they're African Mastiffs. They start off palm-sized, cute puppies. But they grow to be 100-plus pound lion-fighting warriors who love people but hate lions. Right? If you've got something sneaks into your yard, they use them down there in Africa. So, you know, you get these nice things, but a wild animal comes into your yard, you need something big going to chase that thing out because you're not going to go do it. So they raise these monster-sized dogs, bred these amazing mastiffs over here, gorgeous-looking animal. And somebody made the comment, you know, you sit there, their mouths are big enough to fit a whole house cat. And I go, well, hold on. Go, I might solve me a problem in a couple days. My kids are looking over at me going, Dad, no. Don't worry, they're $2,000. We ain't getting one. It'll protect us from other things. And we go, oh, I got to hang on to it. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And we hang on to that stuff like an animal that's been wounded. An animal that's got some kind of a thing there or something like that. We hang on to it. No, I don't want to forgive him. I don't want to let this go. I don't want to grow past this. You have to. You are dedicating the rest of your days to bitterness. Let the cleansing of God take that away from you. I think the closest I ever got, somebody came up to me and said, you know, that guy's really rude to you. And this was not in a work capacity. This was not in a neighbor capacity. This was in an area where this should not have happened. That person's always kind of rough on you. Does it ever bother you? Yeah. You mad at him? No. Why? God told me to forgive him. And for some reason, I'm able to. Don't humiliate me publicly. Tease me. No matter what I said, cut me down. That's hard for a young man. That's hard for anybody. Why are you doing? Why don't you say something? Oh, I have. I brought it up to him. I also told him I forgave him. I told the Lord I was going to forgive him. I woke up the next morning and all was forgiven. And I felt good. See, the cleansing oil of God, that cleansing love and compassion he shows, well, that can even heal you from the hurt done by others. You know, I don't know how often sheep get into biting at each other, but I do know Christians like to. Paul even said, if you bite at each other, be careful not to devour each other. You know, if you're going to be snipping at each other. Animals might not do it, but we sure do. He'll heal the hurt from a fellow church member. Heal the hurt from a family member, from a complete stranger. It'll heal that hurt. I've heard people stand up and give testimony after testimony on how somebody had just demolished there's so much in their life. But through the healing presence of God, they were able to move past those things. But it starts off with simple obedience, healing, or forgiving, and trusting in the Lord. Laying those burdens down at his feet. So it'll heal us from sin or cleanse us from sin. It'll close up the effects of those wounds. What kind of effects do I get from wounds made of sin? Or wounds made by sin, by the sins of others? Well, resentment's one. Resentment is one. You know, you get to be resenting to certain people. Now again, I'm a big proponent. You know, somebody robs money out of your wallet, you forgive them, and they rob money out of your wallet again, and you forgive them, right? 7 times 70, right? I do think there's a point where you stop inviting them over to where your wallet is, right? I'll give you the other cheek, but I ain't going to move your hand and slap it for you, you know what I mean? Like, no, thank you. So there comes a time. Now, I've told you this. I was joking with my mom. My grandma wanted to go downtown. We've got relatives buried in downtown Detroit. Not a fantastic area. When she started putting relatives there, it was a beautiful area. Really wonderful cemetery down there in Detroit off of Fort Street. You go there now, you need to make sure you're going in with a heavy belt. Yeah? So my grandma says, I'd like to go there. And my mom goes, well, who's going to take us downtown? Because I'm not driving downtown. She goes, well, Jason can. Jason's my brother. I've joked to you about him before, about his driving. My mom said that, and I started laughing. I go, it's very apt that you guys would be headed to the cemetery. As a matter of fact, driving with him is one of the only things you can do in Detroit where you're more in danger in the car. Right? Not good. You know, it's possible for you to sit there and say, you know what, you're a bad driver. I ain't getting in the car with you. But resentment is a different thing. Resentment is holding an emotional debt over somebody that they might not even be aware of, that exacts a toll from you. It's bitterness is what it is. Well, I don't like that person. Why? Because once upon a time in a land far, far away, this is what they did. Well, that was once upon a time. How many times has God forgiven you since that person let you down? How many times has God forgiven you since that person hurt you? How many times have you hurt God and you hurt other people? We need to not trip over resentment. That cleansing. When you go to the Lord, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm struggling in this situation. And you better believe when He gives that calmness to your soul, when He gives that cleansing to your heart, He'll take the resentment away. But you got to be willing to give it up. What about shame? What about shame? Any of you here, you asked the Lord to forgive you, but you still hung on to shame? I knew somebody that liked to keep the little metal rings to their pop tabs. Go, why are you doing that? Are you giving that to a school? I know some people do that. No, I just think it's good. It's my favorite pop. I like to remember each time I had a pop. Got those big old rings, just smack the rings. Why? That's like our shame, by the way. Shame is that one souvenir you take from something that you should have let go a long time ago. You ought to forgive others. You ought to forgive yourself. If God forgave you, you ought to forgive you. Well, what if God hasn't forgiven me? Well, then you need to ask Him for forgiveness, and He will. Well, I don't feel that He has. You're not God. Your feelings ain't going to tell you nothing about God. Right? Absolutely ridiculous to think that we could feel what God is thinking. Go to Him. Ask for forgiveness. Let go of that shame. What about painful memories? Well, even those we can turn around. Hey, Lord, I asked You to give me strength to forgive somebody, and for the last couple years, we've been doing pretty good, and I haven't had any reoccurrences of bitter thoughts or bad feelings, but yesterday I was reminded of it. It got me all mad. Lord, that pain's come back. I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe they said that about me. And it hurts again. So, you know, Lord, somehow I brought it back. I'm going to give it back to You. Lord, help me forgive them again. Help me to move past this. Help me, Lord, to heal from this wound. My dad, he had a knee surgery. Near shattered his leg. And he's one of those people who, when it's about to rain, he knows. I thought it was an old wives' tale until I started to notice that Dad would get grumpy before a rainstorm would start. Right? So he'd sit there and he'd stomp through the house, close the door real hard, and I go, uh-oh, Jason, it's about to rain. You know? Dad's in pain. He don't feel good. Man, sometimes those old hurts, they come back. Sometimes it's a physical hurt. Lord, be with me during this time. Lord, either take it away or just stay with me. If it's an emotional hurt, Lord, deal with me. Help me to process this. Help me to take care of it. And sometimes, if we don't take care of those open wounds, they become infected. Well, I ain't going to say nothing to them. They ain't going to say nothing to me. And that's the way it is. But every time somebody, one of your friends brings that guy up, that lady up, you have something negative to say. Well, now that hurt went from you to somebody else. Now all of a sudden there's a rift in the church. You got the people who do talk to Sister so-and-so and the people who don't talk to Sister so-and-so. You got the people who do talk to Brother so-and-so and you got those that absolutely hate Brother so-and-so. Why? Well, we don't really remember how it started, but let me tell you where we are right now. That's an infection. Family, it'll take families. It'll take people. It'll take churches. You don't let the infection set in. You clear all that gunk out. You make it all right. Or else it'll come back for you. And when you're on the mend and things are going well, boy, doesn't it feel good. Can I ask you this? Anybody here, you still use Vicks VapoRub? I do. And I'll be honest with you, I've researched that stuff. I don't think that stuff really works. But every time I put it on, I kind of feel like it works. And I've thought about this. Does it work because it works? Because it's made of some kind of medicine that is beyond my intelligence, which isn't a difficult thing to happen when it comes down to biology. That's not hard. Is it working in a way I don't understand? Or is it only working because when I was sick and my mom would rub it under my nose and on my chest, I felt better knowing she was there, and that's why it still works today? I don't know. I got a theory, though. That's my theory. And it feels good when you're on the mend, when you've taken steps to bandage the wounds, when you've applied the medicine. You know, you cut your finger doing this, doing that. You got grease and everything all over your hand. Oh, no, what do I do? You go and you clean it out. You make sure it's nice and good. You put that medicine on there. Right? You got to make sure you get that all out. I had the misfortune when I was a kid, I cut my finger on a meat slicer. And by the time I got the approval from my boss to shut the store down, and I got everything cleaned up the way that it should be, and I finally got to the hospital, and I was seen by one of the doctors in the ER, the wound had started to close up. You ever been there? And the lady looks at me, she goes, I'm going to have to open this back up. She goes, do you understand? I go, no. She goes, I go, is it going to hurt? She goes, a little bit. I go, no. Sure enough, she spread that thing back open. Ah. Why? She goes, I got to make sure there's nothing inside. I got to clean that all out. Well, I had a bandage on it probably for an hour, almost 2 hours. I can't remember. It was quite a while. You know, things had already started to clot. And it didn't feel quite right. But man, when she cleaned that thing all the way out. And they wrapped it up nice the way only a medical professional could do. I was 18 years old. I was nowhere near able to do first aid on myself. She did it just the way a medical professional should, just the way her training taught her how to do. And I sat there, I go, thanks. That feels better. You know, I'm like, am I going to get stitches? Is this going to happen? When all the worry was over and all the work was over, that tiny little cut was just a tiny little cut. Sometimes when you get to the other end of your problem spiritually, you realize it looked a whole lot bigger than it was. You realize that in the moment it seemed like the world was ending. But when you got to the other side, you're like, oh, that's just a little thing. That wasn't anything to worry about. See, there's a comfort that comes when you got that oil on your life. When you got that cleansing taking place in your life, you sit there, you go, all right, this is good. I like this. It's not the way that it was, but this is good. You know, I was talking to Earl, you know, Earl, does your arm hurt now? No, it don't hurt now. Does it seem like all that big of a deal now? No, it don't seem like a big deal now. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. When we get things cleaned up, we get things taken care of. You see, it's fine. And there is a peace that comes with that. It's going to be fine now. It's all over. My mom used to say that to me. Scrape up my knee, bust up my elbow. It's probably not a thing to say, but I used to get hit in the face a lot as a kid. Not by my parents, but just playing around. I took a golf ball to the face. Somebody had an airplane that they were flying around that they made out of some kind of plaster. That didn't go very far, but it did land on my face, so it was fine. You know, she cleaned me up. There. It's all right now. Everything's fine now. That comforts me. When the Lord puts that cleansing in your life, there's going to come that moment where you go, it's going to be all right. Won't be the way that it was. Won't be perfect. But it's going to be all right. Another thing that that balm would do is it resists the pests. Right? They'd put that oil on there. It'd be hard for the bugs to get through to it. It just wouldn't be worth it. Do things bug you? Things bug me. But you know what brings me back down to normal? The Word of God. Oh, how could we elect these leaders? How could we have this going on in society? How can governments be doing this? Are we going to war? And your mind, it's almost like the Tasmanian devil from Looney Tunes. Just, you put your eyes in this book and you'll see a God who has it all under control. Well, why does this have to happen? So the ending can happen. I think I've used that illustration before. There was a guy, we were watching a video. Why did this happen in the movie? You know, some ridiculous plot point. And the guy just goes, so the movie could happen. And from then on, that's kind of been my point of view on what's going on in the world today. Well, why is this happening? So the book of Revelation can happen. Why is that going on? So the book of Revelation can happen. We got to get there. But that's awful. Have you read the book of Revelation? It gets worse. We got to get there, though. And it's been a slow slog, but here we are. And I'll tell you what, some folks say, that's it, it's over now. This is for sure the end. You know, people have been saying that for a very long time. I do believe it could be any day, but I can't prove it's tomorrow. You know what I mean? Now, if it was tomorrow, would I be surprised? A little bit. Yeah, well, not really. Hey, it could be any day. I don't think any of us are going to be sitting there going, oh, it must be time for the rapture. Good show. And we're just, I think we're all going to be a little surprised at first. Just, oh, hey, here we go. Man, it could be tomorrow. Could be 100 years from now. That's it. Work until the buzzer goes off. That's what we got. Work until that trumpet sounds. Don't plan on anything else. Because it could be tomorrow. And I don't want to be slowing down. It could be 100 years from now and I ain't got no right to settle down. You know, well, why are you guys doing all this stuff for camp and teaching the kids in Sunday school? Don't you know we're in the end days? That's why we do those things. And if those end days go on for another 50, 60, 70 years, I don't want to be the generation that dropped the ball. That said, oh, well, the Lord could be coming back at any time. Let's pull out the lawn chairs. No, thank you. I will serve the Lord. So yeah, you know, why has this got to happen? Why does this happen? Don't let it bug you. I see a God who's still on the throne. I see a God who predicted what we're going through right now. I see a God that controlled all manner of awful things. You know, you read the book of Revelation, what do you see? So often you hear repeated the phrase, the kings of the earth. You know what those kings of the earth are going to do eventually? They're going to bow before Christ. Oh, well, what we ought to do is we got to get religion out. We got to do this. We got to do this. We got to approve all these debauched things. One day, they're going to stand before God. I ain't got to worry about them. We'll sing our songs. We'll preach the gospel. We'll have our services. We'll give the gospel to the people we meet outside. We'll continue to do the work. I ain't worried about them. I ain't stressed about them. You'd be a fool not to pay attention to them. But I'll tell you this, I ain't worried. Why? Because the Lord pours out that comfort. He pours out that oil. Lord, hey, look at these people. Look at their nonsense. I'm so glad you're in control. Right? And that's what the Lord said. Don't be afraid of the people that could just kill you the body. You'd be more concerned about the one that could kill you body and soul. I ain't worried about that. What if this happens? What if they start boarding up churches? You know what my plan is. I was reading in the news, it is apparently now a big law in Michigan that you can't misgender folks. And if you do, it's a serious penalty for it. If you do it in a harassing manner is the verbiage. My wife looked over at me. She goes, I need to start getting some bail money for you. I'm not being cute here, folks. They've got all the evidence they need on our website. And Brother Mark, don't you dare take it down. I'll start a prison ministry. It's not my plan. It's not what I want. But I'm going to stand where the Word of God tells me to stand. I ain't got to be ugly about it. I ain't got to be mean about it. I ain't going to be throwing rocks at people. Certainly ain't going to be awful to people. But I'm not going to sit there and buy into this. You know, I take my daughter into the doctor and, hey, we'd like to talk to your daughter off over here. You know, no. No, thank you. Well, if you can't trust a doctor, who can you trust? There must be something wrong with you. What was the name of that doctor hurt all those gymnast girls down there at the college? Don't tell me these games. Don't tell me these stories. I'm going to stand where I stand. If there's something just a little wonky about you, you don't have my trust. I'll give you a little bit, but there's some things I won't let you have. I tell you what, I'll give some of these people my bank account before I let them anywhere near my kids. And believe you me, it's coming. We've been there. I've had it happen once or twice. Well, we'd like to talk to your child off over here in another room. You will not. Sir, ma'am, whatever you call yourself, no thank you. Well, bring them on over. Let us read to them in our drag clothing. Let me tell you this. If I took my child to this is an ugly phrase because I don't believe it, a gentleman's club. I don't believe that it's a club and ain't no gentleman in there, but you get what I'm saying. If I took my child there and I let those people read a book to my child in their work clothes, they would take my children from me. Right. But if she's a he and she's dressed the same and he's dressed the same, I'm a monster for not letting them do that. You following me? Don't make no sense. I'll answer questions about our camp. Well, do you let the boys and the girls swim together? No. Why? Like I've committed some offense or crime to humanity. Well, I tell you what, if I had a bunch of boys and girls stripped down to their swim clothes running around on the inside of a tank, would that be okay? Well, no, sir, that's really weird. If I told you I took a bunch of kids up to Kentucky Hills and I had them running around barely dressed, is that weird? Yeah, that's weird. So as long as the pool is filled, we're good. So you gotta be able to take a step back from society every now and then. That ain't right. These things, the mentality we see today, bugs me. The Word of God is a balm to my irritation. I come off sometimes as nice, a little bit clownish, but I promise you, there's a part of me isn't nice with his words. And that guy keeps trying to come out. The old man, the flesh, tries to come out and say things I ought not to say and be mean in ways I ought not to be mean. And there are people out there right now that keep tempting that part of me to come on out. Yeah, well, we're doing this and you're a fool if you disagree. That is the most moronic thing I've ever heard. I'm like, oh, no, you can't say that. It's supposed to be nice. I get into the Word of God. And I see the condition they're in. I see Paul writing words like, and such were some of you. That's icy hot on a sore muscle. That is aloe on a sunburn. All right, Lord, I see. It doesn't change my position, but it takes away the heat. Takes away the frustration of it. And it is something I can promise you that works. This stuff can prevent temptation from coming into your life. It'll even prevent trouble from coming into your life. Because as I'm in the Word of God and the effects of the Word, the effects of the Holy Spirit are applied to my life, there's going to be a lot of trouble I avoid. You're in a position, a verse comes to mind. You go, you know what? I shouldn't do that. That does kind of go along with that verse. I ain't going to go near it. Well, guess what? You're not going to have the trouble that would go along with it. Case in point, the Bible says that a family is a man and a wife. The man ought to, if he's going to touch the woman, he ought to be married to that woman, right? It's a sin for a man to touch a woman. Ought to be married. When two people are married, then they do the things that create the children. Right? And if you vow to stay together, you're together. You stay together. I listen to that, I look at that, and I go, yes. And you know what? I have four kids. I don't pay no child support. It's a miracle. I've got cousins right now pay so much in child support, it's a wonder they eat. You're sitting around the family table and everyone's talking, oh yeah, I got this child support, I got that child support. That's an awkward conversation for me to be a part of. You're sitting there saying, who pays more in child support? That's weird to me. Because I'm there. I'm there. I am not dad. I also do another thing where I don't babysit my kids. You babysitting tonight? No, it's this little thing we're experimenting with in our house. It's called parenting. Tonight I'll be playing the role of dad. It's like a mommy, but a dude. You know what I mean? It bugs me. You know what? I don't have to worry about some of those things. Why? Because I don't do the things that cause the trouble. Right? Well, I've got to go down here and, you know, I've got to go down to this AA meeting. The court makes me do it. I got to go to this therapy session. The court makes me do it. I got anger issues, so I got to go to court-appointed anger management therapy. I tell you what, you live more godly. You act forgiving. You crucify the flesh. You ain't going to have those issues. And if you do have those issues, absolutely, let's talk it out. Let's get some therapy going, because that ain't a way a person ought to live. But you don't develop those problems, you don't have problems to fix. I tell you what, there's a healing that comes with the Word of God. And in that temptation, you know, so often temptation bounces right off of us. So often that desire to go off, it leaves us. I mean, imagine being a sheep and a wolf comes up to the gate, puts his arms out of the gate, but comes up to the side of the fence. Hey, what are you doing in there? Well, we're in here grazing. Well, that looks very restrictive, you're grazing in there. Why don't you come out here and graze with me? You're a wolf. You don't graze. You eat meat. I'm made of meat. Well, thank you. Devil gives us temptations. That's alcohol. That's lying. That's cheating. That's stealing. That's any one of a thousand sins. You eat people like me. Better men than me have fallen for you. So I ain't going to get down there and fight with you. I'm not going to get down there and play. I'm going to stay right here because I know you're full of nonsense. I know you'll tempt me. I know you'll let me even have some fun for a while. Hey, let's go rolling down this hill away from the shepherd. Isn't that nice to be away from the shepherd for a while? Oh, I bet you're having a good time. Are you having a good time? Come on, come on, come on. Harp! And you're done. Your testimony's gone. Your bank account is shot. Your family's walking away from you. It's bad news. And then you sit there and you raise your fist up at the church. Well, you preach against these things I love and you've made me miserable. Da, da, da. No, your shenanigans made you miserable. You rung up a bill. You rung up a big old sin debt and the bill came due. You lost your family. You lost your job. When it says that the devil's walking about him like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, I want you to consider that word devour. That word devour ain't like the word nibble. That's what people think. Well, you know, sin will nibble at you. It don't nibble. It devours. I've never seen an animal walk away from being devoured. It don't. Why? Because it's gone. And sometimes sin will wreck you in such a way it is near impossible to come back the way that you were. You end up with scars. You end up with wounds. You end up deformed a bit in your spiritual walk. So you know what? We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit working on us, resisting those pests that would come to bother us. As we continue to read in this verse, it's not just the cup of oil. It's not just the application of the oil to us, the anointing of our head with oil, but it's the cup that runneth over. It's the cup that runneth over. You know, I think of a couple implications of that phrase. It being attached to the oil. I think of that shepherd going around with that oil, just applying that nightly dose of oil to their heads, or however often they would do it. I'm not a shepherd, I don't know. But just taking that cup and just dipping it out, and it's running over the side, and there you go. There's no sparseness to it. There it is. The other implication that we see here is that God blesses us so heavily. It's like, again, our cup running over. And I'll tell you, like I've told you about a couple other passages, I like both definitions. I think both are true. I think that cup of healing will overflow, just as well as that cup of blessings will overflow. When God is blessing you, when God is pouring out His mercy and His healing on you, you better believe He is not going to be stingy about it. He's not going to be slow about it. There are things, there are process, physical hurts, loss, those things, they do take time, but He will pour it out liberally on you. God pours His blessings out like a toddler pours milk into a cup. And that's what I like. Fill it all the way up. Let it overflow. I'll drink out of the saucer. That's how God blesses us. That's how God pours that healing out on us. And oh no, it may never be exactly the way we wanted it to be. You know, we prayed for Brother Hilly to be healed. He is still minus one arm. But he's living life exactly how God designed. And the blessings are there. Sometimes the cancers don't go away. Sometimes they do. But you better believe that there is God in your life pouring out the blessings. Pouring out the healing. I've seen Christians so sick, so warped by cancer or long-term illness, and I walk away feeling lighter in heart, feeling encouraged for the faith that I see in them. You understand how powerful that is? When you've got a small child who is ill and who has come to understand that they ain't going to get better, but they're encouraging mommy and daddy, and they're encouraging the pastor, and they're encouraging the people that come visit them. It's all right, I'm going to see Jesus. Do you understand the impact of that? A child of God with no fear of death, no fear of the end. That is a person whose cup has run over. They've got a lot of it. I want my cup to run over. I want my faith to be that strong. When He blesses me, I want Him to pour out in the same way. I can't say I deserve it. I can't say I've got it coming, nor that I've ever done anything to deserve it. But you better believe three things about how He pours His love out on your life. He overpours by love, because He loves you. While there's a lot of bad things going on, don't forget God loves you. Whatever's going on, He's got His hand on the throttle. Whatever's going on, He's got His hand on the brake. Whatever's going on, He will supply your every need. Why? Because He loves you. Not the way one person loves another, but in a way we can't even touch. We are His creation. We are the apple of His eye. He loves us. And He overpours by love, and He overpours His love. And He overpours His healing. Doesn't just fix the body, He fixes the spirit. Doesn't just fix the emotions. He fixes your spirit. Makes you strong again. Makes you able to bear the things going on. And He overpours His blessings. Day after day. No matter what your struggles are. Again, I say what I said this morning. You're here today. You might not be here tomorrow. You might not have been able to be here last week. Pick on Brother Mark. Brother Mark, his back hurt. He couldn't be here this morning. Here he is. I bet that back still hurts. Praying for you, brother. I'm not making a joke out of it. Praying for you. I may not be able to do it last week, but I can do it this week. Some of you know you've got chronic pain, chronic things going on. You know what it's like. I couldn't go on Sunday. But the Lord made it back. Maybe it'll help me to make it back. But during that time, I opened my Bible. During that time, I opened my mouth and I praised Him and I prayed to Him. And it wasn't quite like church, but He blessed me in that chair. He blessed me in that bed. He blessed me in that hospital. That's what God can do for you. See, more carnal mind needs a warm summer breeze on a beautiful beach with a frosty drink and a nice chair and someone to wait on them. That's their blessing. They need that to feel good about their situation, right? I don't have to hear from the doctor. Lord will make you feel blessed on the worst day of your life. That's how strong He is. Lord will find you in the worst place you've ever been in. He'll be there for you, bless you, give you a tune. When everything's falling apart, you'll have that joy. Oh, there'll be grief, there'll be pain, there'll be fear. But for some reason, you never lose that joy. That's God overpouring on your life. And the cups always run over. Well, I don't think I deserve my cup to run over. Don't worry. He's going to overflow it anyway. Sometimes my kids will get that way. I'll make something for one. Why do they get one? They didn't get one. They got the first one. Here's the second one. Here's the third one. And Melody, she doesn't say anything. She just sits there. She knows she's getting one. She goes, I ain't getting away with anything. If they got it, you know I'm getting one. God don't play favorites. He's going to overflow your cup. He's going to overflow my cup. There's going to be moments when we got different size cups. I'll tell you that. There ain't a lot going on right now, Lord. You got a lot of hard times. The cup's mighty small. Oh, Lord, You've blessed me so much. Look at these wonderful things. Look how big my cup is right now. He don't care. He loves you. So we need to rely on Him for His healing. As the sheep sits there and gets that comfort, that Vicks VapoRub kind of comfort from those oils, so do we get that feeling from when God is working in our lives. Don't be fretful. Don't run. Be by His side. Take that blessing because He's willing to give it to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercies. Lord, the care You've put into our lives, we don't deserve any of those things. Father, we think that life ought to be peaches and cream with no illnesses and everything ought to be dandy, but this ain't the rock. That ain't the rock we live on. But Father, in those moments of sadness, You bring us joy. Where there is pain, You bring healing and peace. Father, You are the master of all things, and we trust in You for all things. So help us, Lord, to stay by You, to not be like my dog that scratches and picks at the things that trouble us, but to go to You for balm and for healing. Lord, if we love You, we won't be shy around You. If we love You, we'll have no problem bringing every problem and woe to You. Lord, knowing this, that You'll take care of all our needs. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.